Katie Stolpe, and I'm a senior at Austin High in Austin, Texas. And I'm here with my friends Bruce and Virginia, who work at Sauer Beckmann Farm, which is a typical German farmstead that takes us back in time to the 1915 about year. And so Bruce, can you tell us a little bit about how that farm is run?
Sure. The farm is located west of Austin, about 60 miles in the Texas Hill Country. And the farm is actually an original farmstead. None of these buildings were moved in. The oldest building was built in 1869. And someone actually occupied the farm for 98 years between the two families that lived there. And basically what we do is just go through the everyday activities as a typical German farmer would have done in the period of 1915.
Oh, awesome. And y'all work there as interpreters? Can you explain what an interpreter is?
Yes, we're both interpreters. We're living history. That's why we're costumed as we are. We actually portray, as Bruce said, a life on the farm every day throughout the year. So we come in, and during our time at the farm, we're living it as they would have in 1915. Now, that's living history. Now, Texas Parks and Wildlife does have some other interpretive programs. It's not only living history, they have programs where they have reenactors come in, do one specific program. And then, of course, they have the programs where you can go out to Big Bend Ranch, and they do an interpretive program there where you're actually going out and doing desert survival. Or you may sit under a tree and study the leaves on the tree. Those are all different forms of interpretation.
Okay.
And a lot of the interpreters are actually working to use all the senses, whether it's the sense of sight, the sense of smell, or hearing, or even touch, because they're trying to make you actually experience it. And hopefully from that, learn a little better.
Okay, yeah. What are some activities that y'all do at the farm?
Well, we do, every day there's a typical. You know, we do actually cook a meal on the stove. So
oh,
we start the fire in the stove every morning, stoke it up, cook that meal. Of course, part of that job is also for us to consume that, but the products have to come from the farm.
Oh.
So that means you have to plant the garden, you have to do the daily care of the animals, and then of course it gets to that time of the year when we do the butchering. And that's what we're going to sort of give you an idea of some of that that goes
All right.
on at that time.
For instance, if you were coming up the trail and say it was mid-December, this might be an activity that you would come up on. And this would be the ending process of the butchering to where you're actually making the sausage. Now, there's two types of sausage you can do, a patty-type sausage, which would have been fried and then packed away for later consumption. Or you can go one step further. And it, by the way, these people were very resourceful people. They were going to use everything. And what you would do is make a link sausage. And what we have right here, and I think Katie's already experienced some of our interpretation right here. These are intestines, small intestines from the beef. And what you would do is place this over the spout of the sausage stuffer. And if I can get Virginia to hold that shut for me, we will take this, and by turning the crank, what it's going to do is fill the ground meat into the sausage casing. Okay, once it's been stuffed, what we would have to do then is tie it. That was a fancy little trick, wasn't it? This is to get all the air out, to make sure there's no air pockets. Once the sausage was tied, we will go ahead and take it out to the smokehouse. There's your finished product. Looks just like the sausage that you would buy in the store nowadays. Basically, just a beef and pork combination is all this is. But the difference was there was no refrigeration, so what you would have to do is take the sausage, hang it in the smokehouse. It would be smoked and then dried. And what I mean by dried, it would turn out about what you would be familiar with is a modern-day jerky. It would just be a dehydrated meat. Of course, then you had to do something to stop the dehydration process. Katie volunteered for this little episode here, so we're going to let her remove one of these sausages.
This is the final product, I guess.
There is a sausage, and what we have done with that sausage is actually pack it in a stone crock and cover it with lard. I know this doesn't sound very appetizing, but what is going to happen here, the lard will actually deplete your oxygen supply and will stop the dehydration process. By the way, this sausage right here was made last December, and it is
almost a year old.
Year old, and it's still completely edible. Matter of fact, if you would like to join us for lunch today,
well,
that would be fine.
Yes, maybe after the interview we can have some of
Now, the sausage, like I said, after the sausage is used, you're going to have a container of lard. The lard would not have been thrown away since they were so resourceful. This would have in turn been cooked into lye soap. Okay. So after your meal, you had some nice soap made out of lard and lye to clean your hands with.
Well, if someone's interested in doing this and making sausage and all these activities, what skills do they need to be a part of the farm?
One of the skills that would, of course, be very handy would be somewhat of a background into this type of thing. Of course, history, be a history person, enjoy history. Also, I think storytelling would be very good because you need to be somewhat of a storyteller. And probably the most important thing would be enjoy being around people. You need to be around people, and you're with them all the time. And what you're doing is trying to relay a message and give them a positive outlook.
Okay. What other activities do y'all have at the farm?
Well, we do the daily, you know, as we did.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also do, during the week, you have to wash your clothes. There are certain times that you do certain things, and Monday was always wash day.
Tell me about y'all's clothing.
Well, we try and dress in this time, this actual style of that time, which means a lot of it we have to create ourselves. It's really hard to walk into a store and pick it up now. So we do a lot of our own. We stay with the natural materials, which is really good in the summer. Because if you have your cottons and all, you're going to be cooler because you're going to have to do as we are now. I know it's a little cool outside, but we're still going to have the long sleeves even in the summer. Keep them high neck because you didn't want any exposure.
Is it comfortable?
It's not too bad. You sort of get used to it, but in the summer you're still going to sweat.
You are. Well, what's the main purpose of interpretation to y'all?
I think the main purpose of interpretation, of course, is to try to motivate the public, and you can do that through education, outreach, and of course involvement, as you were doing right here. And hopefully by doing that you can get the people to understand how important our cultural and natural resources really are to the state of Texas.
All right, well, thank you so much for spending time with us. Let's see, next we're going to go to Linda, and if you ever wonder if you could fish for a living, Linda's going to tell you all about that.